Welcome everybody, welcome to yet another Mindfulness for Coaches talk, this time with my very wonderful guest, Jackie Holder, executive coach, speaker, trainer, and creative writing tutor. Anything I missed?
Tree hugger.
Oh, thank you, Joy.
And a tree hugger, okay? Jackie, thank you so much again for being here with us today, for giving your time and your knowledge and for agreeing to share that. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
So where should we start? Where would you like to start?
Well, what's your first question that you would like to maybe offer me?
That was my first question of really where would you like me to start? But then in terms of today, so we are here today to explore writing and mindfulness and how it comes together so that we can perhaps enrich our coaching practice, or how these three things, mindfulness, writing and coaching, comes together. But when I was preparing to this talk today, you know, the first question that actually came to my mind was, how did it all happen for you? Where did you actually notice the connection? And it's just like, what's the story behind?
Yeah, so that's a good question, a good place to start. I've been thinking about this a bit, and it's really interesting because my background before I came into coaching was I started my professional career as a youth and community worker. And I felt very lucky to get into youth and community work because a lot of it was very much about reflective and reflexive practice.
Yes.
So what that meant was that we actually spent quite a...
Jackie, can I just say, sorry for stopping you, but I just wanted to say that everybody that's here with us today is actually on the speaker. And if I can just invite everybody to take the responsibility of whatever is happening in your surrounding, so that we can participate in this discussion on an open basis, but with responsibility. That's okay.
Thank you. So it was a very reflective practice. It was a very reflexive practice. And I came into youth work at the age of 21. I was quite young amongst my colleagues. I was one of the youngest youth workers. And I found that reflective practice was something that I embedded quite early on in my work. So what that meant was it actually gave me an opportunity to stop, pause and think about what I was doing and think about the way in which I was doing it. And what I've noticed about myself is as I have gone through my different career journey in terms of moving from youth and community work into working in the criminal justice system, then moving from that into working with young people, leaving care and moving into independent living, and then moving into training and development, I found that that reflective and a reflective practice was something that I took with me. It became a part of how I came to my work and how I developed and I grew in my various practices and in my various roles. So by the time 25 years later, when I've ended up in my work as a executive coach, doing one-to-one coaching sessions, doing and delivering coach training, what I found was that my ability to reflect in the way that I have been doing for over the years became almost part of my mindfulness practice. So what it meant was I really had very clear spaces in my work where I noticed that I was able to step off of the kind of the what's the conveyor belt, the busyness, the hectic schedule, the doing too much, and actually take time to breathe, to pause. And actually the way that I really did it quite significantly was to reflect on myself on paper. So I was very good at writing up my notes after one-to-one sessions as I was developing my career, my experience, first of all in life coaching and then moving into management and leadership coaching. And also I really, because I've had a significant number of years running groups, facilitating groups, working with all kinds of different people from senior leaders right down to operational people working on the on face to face, out in the environment with a range of different people. Just working with so many different people who bring so many different strengths, challenges, styles to the work that I was doing. I found that I had to do that reflection on myself. I had to look at myself and how I was interacting, how I was relating to others. And if you think about mindfulness as being a practice that actually allows us to think about the quality of our emotionality, how we are responding, are we actually present in the moment? How are we choosing to respond? How are we choosing to come to a conversation? How are we choosing to be in a relationship? It was actually really important that I had a way of which I made sense of that. So over the last, I would say, particularly over the last 5 years, mindfulness has become something that has become a term that is not just over in a corner and is a term that you use if you consider yourself quite a spiritual being or somebody who is into the Zen way of living or somebody who practices Buddhism. What we've found is that mindfulness has now really spread and branched out. Its roots have come out of the East, has much more steeply embedded in the ways of the West, but particularly in business, particularly in management. And what we've seen over the last 5 years in the world of the corporate world, in the world of business and a lot of the environments that we're working in, is that mindfulness has been recognized as a practice that allows you to show up and be more effective in the way in which you are being in your practice and you are thinking about your practice and the work that you're doing. So
it's almost as if... Can I just say, wow, so much, so much. Where should I even put my thought into this? But basically what I'm feeling and what I'm sending, that is like all logical and connecting journey that just led you to even this place, to this place that we are now, you talking and sharing that with us. And it all started from this need of you to actually stop, to reflect.
It's very much rooted in my journey. And it's interesting because I've just finished about 7 years of working with an organization where I helped them set up their accredited coach training. So we ran about 14 programs. And quite early on, about 2.5 years ago when we did our first batch of programs, one of the things that I noticed was I remember talking to the organizer who had commissioned me to develop the programs. And I said, you know what, I really feel we need to have some kind of mindfulness practice on there. And I must have managed to put into the first day about 10 minutes. And what I did was I brought in my prayer bowl and I did the chime in and I got us to do a mindfulness practice very similar to what we did now, which is about 60 seconds, but I got them to do 5 minutes. And I got them to really just kind of lay everything down, kind of just forget about everything at work and just really arrive and be present in the room. These were internal managers who were training to be coaches. And one of the things I knew was really integral to how they were going to grow on this journey of coaching and accrediting them as coaches was about knowing about their interior world, knowing about who they were. And so what we did was we did a mindfulness practice, and I could not believe it. On the evaluation forms, they were saying, when we did the mindfulness practice, I knew significantly that that made a difference to me. It shifted how I was in the program. They all commented in different ways, using different kinds of language, about the impact that 5 to 10 minute practice that we did, because once they did that, I then got them to write in their notebooks and their journals. We gave everybody who comes on the program got a notebook and a journal, and they then went to their notebooks, they wrote there, and then we linked that to how important that is to their journey of developing as a coach.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for actually saying that. And I can only share with you coaches that are here on this talk and who perhaps later will be listening to the recording, this is my big dream, that every coach to be is actually trained in mindfulness, or whatever word we use for describing presence, because who we are is just for me integral to how we are as coaches and what we do as coaches. So I couldn't agree more with you, Jackie.
Well, my coaching supervisor on the when I trained to be a coaching supervisor, Miriam Orosis, she said, "Who you are is who you, how you coach."
How these two could be even separate?
They're not separate.
Exactly. But Jackie, tell me more if I can ask, because I'm not actually sure as such if I know. I actually do not know, because I'm not a writer myself. But could I just ask, what is mindful writing?
Well, I think there are a number of different things to describe mindful writing. But I believe that the heart of mindful writing is when we arrive on the page and we become present in the moment. So it's as if we're no longer worrying about what's going on outside of us. We are connected to the pen or our fingers on the keyboard. We are in the present moment and we are connected to the emotions, the feelings, the stories, the data, the reflections, the sensations that we might be feeling in our bodies, what we're noticing about, what we're hearing around us, seeing around us, feeling or sensing. It is about bringing your conscious presence to that moment and allowing that to find some form of expression on the page. Now, the thing for me around mindful writing is, I think what it does is it allows us to drop beneath the surface. And when we drop beneath the surface, particularly for us as coaches, I think a wonderful thing happens. Coaches, in terms of the times that we're living in terms of the kind of change that organizations are going through, in terms of the kinds of challenges that leaders are faced with, managers are faced with, ordinary everyday people are up against in terms of their normal routines and everyday work, we are required to have an ability, a sensory perceptiveness and qualitativeness in terms of our understanding of our own internal selves, but that ability to be perceptive and sensorily engaged in the world around us. So we have to be able to attune into that on a very regular basis. And the way that mindful writing does that is it allows us to really be connected to our own interior world so that we can then have more working space inside of ourselves for what's going on outside, that we have more capacity to hold space for our coaching clients. And I think the mindful writing means that we can find ways in which we can relieve and let go of stuff that might get in the way, might block up our creativity, might block our resourcefulness, might get in the way of us, you know, working from a place of our ego and our head. You know,
welcome to
GoToMeeting.
Hello.
I have
other callers on the call. You
know,
I have
welcome to who just joined us. I remember one of somebody that I work with, another brilliant coach and coach supervisor, her name's Steve Turner. She recommended me to a really good book called The Gift of Therapy. And one of the things that Irvin Yalom, who is the author of that, he's a therapist, one of the things that he says is technique is what you use until the therapist arrives. And for me, mindful writing, I think we often connect with who we truly are when we get into that space of mindful writing. It's almost as if you find your own flow, you find your own rhythm. You can make sense of a coaching session that might have felt that it didn't quite go the way that you would have liked it to go, but actually you, by mindfully coming to the page, maybe asking yourself a question, starting out with an observation, using a prompt that allows you to just really get curious about what might be the important thing that you might want to kind of start off saying.
So, am I hearing correctly that this mindful writing is to some extent almost a formal way of practicing mindfulness?
Absolutely. I think there are many ways to be mindful, and one of the things that I noticed, a lot of teachers that I have really valued their work. Let's take, for example, there's a writing teacher called Natalie Goldberg. Now, I went on one of her retreats in New Mexico, Taos, years ago. She's a Buddhist ordained teacher, but one of the things that she does, her writing practice is very informed by Zazen, which is a Zen sitting meditation practice. So she comes to her writing as a result of sitting and meditating. And a lot of teachers that I've admired over the years, I've noticed that they have a very strong connection with a practice of meditating and allowing themselves to get still and writing. Now, when I go into the corporate world, when I go into the NHS, I go into the police force, I go into education colleges, I'm often meeting people who actually, the opposite for them is they're not having time and space to get still. They're not making that time. They cannot fathom how to create the space in their day to be still.
And is that the reason why it is so important for us coaches in the first place to be this way?
To be still, yes. One, because we model it, but I think also because we, in a way, we collaborate. It's a bit like, if I can use this analogy, I read this beautiful quote in a book recently. It said, somebody who's a musician and comes to their, they're a violinist and they come to their violin practice every day, whenever they put that violin down, that violin is full with the humming of the music. It doesn't lose it. That's what I think happens to us as coaches when we have a regular practice of mindfulness, when we have a regular practice of being mindful. So we can walk into a room, we can walk into organizations that are toxic, that there is chaos, that somebody is feeling drained, people are on the verge of, feeling depression, they're overloaded, they're overwhelmed, and we are not overwhelmed by that. We have the capacity to hold that and work with it, and that we can model that then without even saying it sometimes to people that we are very, very blessed to work with.
So beautifully, beautifully put. And actually now, because we were 20 minutes in our discussion, coaches, I really wanted to do this talk, this discussion, so that you take value out of it. And I'm sure that each of us, as we are here, came to this talk wanting to find out something or wanting to build on something. So Jackie, if you are ready for that, because this is how we started, and I hope you are ready, I actually want to open that up and give you the space, coaches, to ask your question or perhaps share your knowledge or whatever that is that you think is valuable and important for us to look at or question right now. So the floor is all yours.
This is a surprise to me, so I'm going with it.
First Joe? Question? Yep. Jackie, I just wondered, you said there are different types of mindfulness, and it was quite refreshing for me to hear that from you, because most of the stuff I've been reading over the last couple of months, you know, sort of involve, it feels as though I have to lie on the floor and God knows what, go to sleep for a bit, and I think, no, it can't be like that all the time. So the 1 minute meditation was great, the bowl was fantastic, and the fact that you said you know, you can bring it to you can bring it into place anywhere, and I like the fact that you are also using it through writing. So I'm finding it quite fascinating. Yeah.
Lovely. And I think, thank you for sharing that, Joy, because I think that's a point I wanted to make earlier, that I think there are many ways to mindfulness. You know, not everybody is great on really developing and harnessing that skill of meditating. You know, and I loved it when you said, you know, you have to go to, you know, it's kind of hard work to do it that way. And I'm always on the lookout, I'm always encouraging people to find the way in that is going to enable them to be mindful. And for me, one of the ways I use that is I'm a prolific journal writer. I keep punching up hundreds of journals, and that's been my way to mindfulness. And this is why I teach it, because I know the way.
Thank you. That's great, Jackie. Thank you.
Other questions?
Are there any other question, coaches?
I'll ask another question then.
Go for it, Joy.
I'm that kind of a person, Jackie. You know me. So obviously, I'm bringing additional skills into what I do. So I'm probably first and foremost a counsellor. CBT therapist, and then I'm a coach, but I mix them all together because my route into personal development, which, Jackie, what I hear you saying is really to do with personal development. It's about understanding yourself, and I did a very brief coaching session, coaching course, and then I went into 3-4 year training for counselling, and on that we did exactly what you're saying. It's about, do you know about yourself? It was pretty tough learning about yourself, to be quite honest, because you think it's about other people. It's actually about learning about you. And then you mentioned about being able to contain things. So walking into an environment where there's a lot kicking off, but you don't get sucked up by the energy or the negative energy in the room. So that's really quite a discipline, quite a good discipline to get into. But it's practice.
Exactly.
So everything you said, Jackie, I'm just really into. And I'm coming at it from more of a counselling psychotherapy perspective.
So I think what I was going to just add to what Joy was saying was that I think also for me the practice of mindful writing and the practice of mindfulness in our own work as coaches and therapists who are coaches is that we also learn how to be with our emotions and not to push our emotions away. Because I think that is a lot of things have around how we develop resilience inside of ourselves, and we help and support other people to develop their own resilience. We think that emotions are bad, is a bad thing. And one of the things is just recognizing that by mindful writing, you can have a platform, you can have a way to be with your emotions, to not allow them to be pushed away, but use the practice of mindfulness to navigate your way through your emotions. And I think that's something that really helps us a lot in terms of opening out and really allowing our feelings to not consume us, not overwhelm us, but allow them to teach us.
Yeah.
So it's almost like mindfulness actually being the beginning of everything, being the beginning of how we coach, being the beginning of how we write.
Absolutely.
Because isn't it starts from who am I?
I think that's at the core, and it was really interesting as well to hear what Joy was saying, because I really believe that for a lot of coaches and coach training, that this needs to be at the centre of coach training, and really going on that journey of your own personal development, which I think a lot of coaches do. But, you know, really to see that as a major part of any coach training, and, you know, not to allow ourselves to be sidelined or sidetracked by a real desire or hunger to really get a lot of the tools, a lot of the, you know, the techniques, and kind of have those as our kind of driving kind of primary motivator, to feel that that is what equips us as a coach. Whereas we know, if we look at, for example, the International Coach Federation, and we look at their criteria for being a master coach, we know that at the real height of their criteria is about a coach's presence.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
The quality of mindfulness from the quality of a coach's presence, who you are being and who you are. And you know, I think it makes absolute sense that mindfulness has got on the platform that it has now, because I think it's making a real shift in the whole, a huge area of coaching, and how coaching is really adapting to society and society as a whole, as opposed to coaching that is very much done in niche areas.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing that. What do you think would be the most useful and most beneficial to do as a next stage of this time that we have together?
I'd love to do a couple of mindful writing practices.
Oh, so exciting!
Yeah?
Carolina, settle down.
Well, okay, I'm officially excited about mindful writing, especially that I am not a writer.
Oh, well, I'm a believer that there's a writing in mindful writing. So if everyone's happy to take part, all I need you to do is to have pen and paper.
Okay.
So if you just nod your head, because I can't hear people who's on, fantastic. So what I'd like to do is to start with, first of all, this is going to be like a 1 minute to 2 minute kind of practice. And it's the kind of practice that you can do. Sometimes when we arrive at the start of a coaching session, we might have 5-10 minutes to go. You just come out of the meeting, you just traveled across town. And, you know, it's so easy to kind of just think that, oh, I can just rush in the door. I can just get on with it. I can just coach a person. But actually, we know we want to clear our mind. We want to get really mindful. I'm going to introduce you to a very quick technique that you can, mindful writing technique that you can use to get yourself. Yeah. What I ask you to do is to just sit back in your chair for the moment, or wherever, whatever you're sitting on, and just take a few deep breaths. Even though we've had all the different interruptions, I do feel like I have been talking a lot. So let's just allow ourselves to really get present and be here. And I don't want you to, you don't have to force this in any way. I just want to invite you to just very easily and effortlessly, when you're ready, just let your eye gaze on a particular object in the room. And just decide that's the object that you're going to just be with for the next 60 seconds. And just have a look at the object, just notice what it looks like. Notice its shape, its size, its form. You might see different colors, or it might have a main or primary color. And if you can reach it, you might just hold it for a moment and just touch it, or just run your fingers across its surface. Just notice the texture. What does it feel like when you touch it? And if it's something that you can smell, is there a fragrance? And now I'm going to invite you to just take your pen and just spend 1 minute on your piece of paper or in your notebook and just describe your object. Just write about your object. write about what it looks like, what it feels like. And I'm going to chime us to say this is 1 minute. Start. And then I'll chime you when the 1 minute is up. Just bring your sentence to a close. Don't finish mid-sentence. Just finish up what you're writing. And when you've done that, just draw a line under that and just spend a minute or so just writing about what that felt like. How did that feel to do that writing then? Just write a note to yourself. What did that feel like? How did that feel? What did you notice to your sense of awareness, your sense of spaciousness? Just want to finish up your line or sentence. Okay. Lovely. So before we go on, it'd be really good to just get a sense of how you felt just doing that short practice before I introduce you to the next practice. What was that like?
Well, it's Ivona here. Hi, I just Ivona. Felt, can you hear me? Yeah? It was, I just felt kind of free. It was sort of freeness. I was focused and I wasn't thinking of anything else other than that object, but it still allowed me to a little bit run with my imagination, and I kind of felt liberated and in control. So that's so how I would describe them.
So run with your imagination, liberated, and you felt in control?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the control? How, if you unpack that a little bit, you unraveled it a bit more, what were the kind of other feelings associated with that?
Well, I was in control with what way I wanted to take it. There was no distractions, or I wasn't allowing anything to distract me. So it's up to me how my mind was working. Yeah. It was kind of weird. I hadn't experienced it before, but it was kind of fun at the same time.
Yeah,
it was kind
so
of like,
it sounds
I was,
like you were saying you became very focused.
I was focused because I was focusing on that object. So everything else, and my desk is pretty untidy. So for me to focus on what I was focusing, you know, I must admit I had to admire myself for doing that.
Yeah.
So very
space of time, it enabled you to really kind of hone in and really focus on one thing and in a way to really arrive.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Lovely. Thank you. Couple more.
Hi, it's Paulina. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah, hi, Paulina.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Hi, everyone.
For me, it was one of those, another enlightening moment, I suppose. I'm currently kind of, I've been on a journey of rediscovery for ages, and I finally feel I've got there. And this kind of cemented that, this exercise, because I have a carnation in a large, long black vase. And one of the things that, despite intervention and people telling me things I still don't do, is actually take time out to enjoy simple things. So this carnation in the vase signified that freedom, that carefree side of me that says you can do what you want when you want to do it, and nobody needs to tell you how to, because I don't like being told what to do. I'm not great at conforming. So for me, it was the opportunity to have my space just for literally a minute. And how much I managed to glean from that minute, the significance of the flower, the significance of the vase and what it meant. And it's just the simplicity of it, really. It's just that something so simple can have such an impact in such a short space of time.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And you've said a lot there, because, and I think this is where I want to really kind of bring together why mindfulness is so important, because we're talking about a practice that was no more than 2 to 3 minutes at the very, very most. But we're talking about the capacity of the impact in the quality or the qualities of our thinking and actually our being that can actually emanate from doing the practice of mindfulness. So you are able to, in a way, what I'm hearing you say, Paulina, is there was a lot of wisdom and compassion that came through.
Absolutely.
Say that again?
No, I said absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and also it's almost like as if your inner coach was speaking to you.
It's a fuchsia-coloured carnation, and it's a single-stemmed, long fuchsia carnation. I never have flowers in my bedroom. However, it had come in a bouquet of flowers. When I arranged the bouquet, I decided that that fuchsia carnation did not fit into that vase, into the bouquet. So I then thought, well, what am I going to do with it? I don't want to just throw it away. It's a living thing. What am I going to do with it? So I thought, okay, I'm not going to trim it. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to put it in a long black bottle. And the long black bottle has significance because I just found it in the charity shop. Now, I don't go around buying bottles. But yet, the long black bottle had significance. It meant something to me. And I kept looking at it and thinking, oh, I can't spend £2.80 or £4.80, whatever it was, on this bottle because it's just a bottle. But I couldn't leave it in the shop. There was something about it that drew me to it. Its form, its simplicity, and putting the carnation into that bottle or vase, whatever. It's just the whole kind of bringing together of something.
Yeah.
The creativity, my creativity's come back. Things that I'd forgotten about have come back to me. And that's the mindfulness. But I'm saying, you know, you do that. I stuck the flower in the vase without going into as much depth and about it as I am now. But in the little 3 minutes that you've given us to do that, I have managed to understand a really kind of in-depth side to myself that I've forgotten about.
Yes. And so now we have an example of a coach who is much more resourced and resourceful, and will have much more space to create an environment and a conversation with somebody who may want to also be in that space of being more resourceful.
And it's that, well, thank you for giving me the space to do that, Jackie.
A pleasure. Anyone else like to... George, would you, anything you want to add?
I don't think we can hear George. George, if you... George doesn't have a speaker, I don't think so.
Okay. So, Carolina, would you like to share anything?
You know, as English is a second language for me, it was an experience actually to do that. And I'm a mindfulness teacher, but I've never actually practiced mindfulness for writing. So altogether, it was a fascinating experience. And yeah, I can join other coaches here on the call and say thank you for sharing this practice with us.
And I thank you very much for sharing. And one of the things I'd like to, like, just, you know, you said that English wasn't your first language. That's one of the great things. You can also encourage people to do this in their first language. They don't have to, you know, it's whatever language, you know, you feel most confident with. And I have to say that I did it with you as well. And I felt like the room that I'm in kind of blended away, and I just became focused and one with the object that I was looking at. And I felt like I really was even more here in the chair. And I think this is something that when we're walking into a room, we're waiting for the coachee to arrive, whether that's in person or on the phone, a technique like that can really help us arrive. So I don't know if we, my second mindfulness is much longer, so I thought maybe, Carolina, if you're okay with this, I could finish off with the closing mindfulness practice that I was going to do.
Yes, sure.
Would you like me to do that?
Yes, unless there are any other questions before for you. If there are any questions for Jackie, coaches, use this time.
Everyone's ready for their mindfulness.
Yay!
Yeah? So should we go for it?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Lovely. Okay. In fact, I think I'm a real believer in that, you know, as much creativity that we can bring to our work as coaches, I feel just brings the coaching alive. So I'd like to finish off with, first of all, reading you a poem. And I would like you to just take a moment once I finish reading the poem to just write what your otherwises might be. And your otherwises will be made clear once I read the poem. So if I say to everyone, by the end of the poem, if you could write down your three otherwises, and they're in a way could be, they're considered as things that you might be grateful for. It will make sense when I read the poem. The poem is called Otherwise, and it is by Jane Kenyon. And again, I'd like you to invite you to just take a deep breath and just signal yourself into a receiving position. Okay. I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood, and all morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the wall and planned another day, just like this day. But one day, I know, it will be otherwise. So what might your first line be, just like James did, of things that you are grateful for, that you would put in front of "it might have been otherwise"? And finally, because I can see you all, I'm kind of just sensing that everybody has got something down. And if we could just finish off with, again, I invite you to just move into your receiving position. And I'd like you to just finish off with, it take no more than a minute, to just write the sentence and finish the sentence in terms of what you recall and remember about our conversation today. What will you take away with you? So the talk's been on the mindful writer and mindful coach. Here are your opening prompts. I remember, or I take away. I remember, or I take away. You just want to take 30 seconds, a little bit longer, to just write using those prompts. I remember, and I take away. We'd like to just pause so that we can just start to wrap up. And I think it'd be a shame to go away without just maybe hearing what some of your otherwise's gratitudes might have been, and what you're going to remember and what you're going to take away.
It's Ivona here. There's quite a few things I listed down, but my otherwise is a very simple thing, being able to text my mum and just check that she's okay and knowing that she responds. I mean, she's 76 and it's the things that you take for granted. Yeah. And that really hit me. And what I will take away with me is just that it's okay to have still time. And to make still time.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hi, it's Paulina. Sorry, I was really keen. I almost jumped in first. I think for me, opened my eyes this morning, I said my prayers and gave God thanks for another new day. Drawing back the curtains and looking out at the trees, the leaves, the apples, the last of the apples on my apple tree, and just thinking how wonderful the beauty of nature is, and how life could have been so different, so it might have been otherwise. And with regards to what I take away, what I'm taking away, I'm taking away a few things, but I'll keep it simple and stick to one. the time spent sharing with others, the simplicities of life, and having the space to be able to do that just on an online forum like this. It's amazing that we are also blessed to be able to, one, have access to the technology to do this, but also have access to people that are willing to share with us. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's lovely. Yeah, my otherwise is, I'm not sure if I understood the exercise, but I wrote down, as I was listening, I could feel a sense of being grateful for my health and friendships, and then the roof over my head and food to eat. So that's what I pulled out there. And then, what's that? Huh? Oh, good. Oh, good. I wasn't sure I understood that right. Okay. And then, what I sort of take away from today is, you know, it's okay to allow your creativity to be in the room with people, and to, and in fact, it's kind of essential, because it lets your intuitive side come through as well, and it will enhance your conversations and add to growth, basically. So just don't be afraid to be creative. And a bit about being still was good, you know. Try to be still, because you'll be rushing into something that could be a runaway train. So it's important for you to be in not in charge, but be in control of the flow of emotions. And that means getting yourself to a place where you are quiet, and then you can move away from that. So, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And the reason I chose the otherwise poem is because I think that very often people can feel like, you know, they're going through such difficult times in organisations, we forget about what we can be grateful for. We forget about those apples in the tree. We forget about all the people that we care about. It can be very easy to lose track and perspective.
Jackie, dear coaches, I can't put in my words how grateful I am for us being here today, committing to the 60 minutes that we had together, freeing ourselves to be, and using this time, including the technology, to practice our mindfulness. Thank you for being with us today.
It's been a real pleasure. I feel like we've really worked, and that's been lovely to come onto an online forum and feel connected and feel like that we could actually do some work that makes a difference to who we are being, both on and off the planet. Thank you.
So I hope
absolutely
that I will connect with some of us for our next Mindfulness for Coaches talk. I think the next one is coming, and it's going to be about mindful leadership. So I look forward to connecting to you and perhaps exploring more and being more, definitely being more. Mm-hmm. So all the best. Be well, coaches, and carry on your being.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Carolina.
Bye.
Good morning, Paulina, George.